So hello, everybody, and welcome to our January 2020 open coaching call for the Energy Recharge Inner Circle. This is our first official big group call for the year and for the decade. So welcome to 2020. Welcome to the new decade. I know I've talked to several of you on different calls throughout the month, but this is our first official all-group call for the decade. You know, we have this tendency, at least I do, this tendency, you know, 2019, 2018. But for this year, I like it better as 2020, right? Because 2020, it's clarity, it's vision, it's just a nice phrase, but I'm just trying to get myself out of the habit of saying 2019 or 2009, I mean, 2020 instead of 2020. Anyway, I guess I'm getting better at it because I couldn't figure out how to say it. So, I'm sure everybody has lots of stuff you want to talk about, share. If you have a vision for this decade, I'd love to hear it. If you haven't already shared it and you want to share it. I'm really doing a lot of introspection as I'm traveling and getting to have sleep and sleeping 7.5, 8 hours a night, which is really good. There's a lot of stuff on my mind and on my plate and things I really want to impart and get out and change and shift. So I've been doing a lot of that work and that vision work, and we're preparing for a new sweet spot, and we're going to change things up and make them better. And there's just so many things that I've got in my head that we're going to be putting out there, because it's never static, right? Health is never a static thing, and health information and health research, it's constantly shifting and changing and becoming better. And as I see it, I just see this awareness, a much bigger awareness happening in the world, which, you know, 30 years ago, I couldn't really anticipate. Just people becoming aware that food is important and that attitude is important. We had a very interesting talk the other day in the hot tub. One of my colleagues from the group that we had the seminar with, she's from New Zealand, and she actually stayed a couple extra days and she stayed with us. And so she just left this morning, but we were sitting in the hot tub the other day having a conversation. You know, people get in and you have conversations. And turns out, you know, she's a nurse, and she was telling us about being a nurse. And we started talking, you know, saying what we were here for and all. And she started to tell us about how in her, where she's at, and it's in Nebraska of all places, they're actually becoming aware. And there's this national organization, I'll have to look into it, called LifeWise, I think it is, where the nurses are learning to teach the people, you know, that it's important about nutrition and lifestyle. And she even said about goal setting. So we were all real excited with the conversation that, wow, the, you know, mainstream is actually getting this message. And I was all excited. And then as we stood up to leave the hot tub, she mentioned a sign that we'd all seen on the gate entering the pool hot tub area. And it was something about Fridays, they have donuts and coffee for $1. And as she started to mention that, we just assumed she, like us, was kind of outraged and thought it was ridiculous and all. But she started to say how, oh, she was sorry she was going to miss it because this week they weren't going to have it. And we both looked at each other. And after she left, we're like, we just had this awesome conversation with her where she agreed that, you know, nutrition is so important for longevity and for helping people who were sick. And then she made a comment about wishing she could have the dollar donuts and coffee. So as excited as we got that mainstream medicine was getting it, we realized that there's still a long way to go, right? There's still a long way to go before they recognize that donuts and coffee need to be off the menu and not on the menu for people to truly heal. So anyway, we're moving in that direction, but there's still a long way to go. And I just want to be at the forefront of making sure that more and more people become aware of the importance of it. And you guys clearly know that, and you're here. So I'm here to support you however you want to. I need Diana. You were the only one that I saw that Angelica pointed out to me had had put in a RSVP form and stuff. So we'll start with you. And then anybody else has questions or comments or stuff you want to talk about, I'm here to support you however I can. So, Diana, let me find the sheet that Angelica sent me. I opened it on my phone earlier because I was not, okay, here we go. January. Oops, did I click on the wrong link? It says January 23rd.
That's today.
Oh, is today the 23rd? Why was I thinking it was the 29th? Okay, good. So much for that. The sun's getting to me. Thank you. Okay, so it's Diana's celebration, getting stronger every day. Yay. In spite of the cold weather and the vegetable garden not actually being in operation this time of year. And you started, you know, reducing omega-3 supplements due to blood thinning out and due to quitting smoking, but help you figure out where to go now. Okay, so explain to me where you're at, like what dosing you're at right now.
I put it in my tracker. I actually
it's in the tracker.
Okay, yeah, I'm at the tracking sheet, so it adds them all together because I'm taking three.
Oh, yay. Perfect. This is perfect. You did. And that this is going to help me. I'm super excited to share something with you. I don't know, you know, when this will take place, but one of my colleagues shared with me this amazing app that her husband had created to help her keep track of her health clients, and that he was making it available in general. And it kind of is like an app version of all the stuff we have in our health tracker. Cool. So I'm going to meet with him next week when I get home and look at it, and it looks amazing. And here's the thing, you'll have access, you know, if we do this, which I plan to do, assuming it all is exactly what she showed me, is that I'd have access to the main dashboard. You'd have access to the app as yourself. When you get your labs in, you can upload, like, say, a Dutch test or any kind of test. You can upload the test, the actual PDF of the test, and it takes it in, it summarizes it, and makes notes.
Wow.
So, yeah, I can go in and say, oh, Diana, Dutch test came in, and it'll say, oh, estrogen high, testosterone low, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, all summarized for me right on the front screen.
Wow.
And then there's a section for supplements. There's a section for your actual labs, you know, kind of how we have it in the lab tracker. I mean, I was in awe. And then before a call, instead of having to go to a separate place and type in you can go right into your own note field and say, you know, for January 23rd call, these are my questions.
Yeah.
And then I can just open this app and go back and forth between all of the people. I'm like, yeah, sign me up. So she said, well, you have to talk to him first. So, and then you can keep trackers. So I'm super excited about this. So here's a glucose tracker. It's already built in. You just go boom and you put your glucose in. You can access it on your phone. You can access it on your computer. So I'm super excited. And I think that it's going to be something that is going to simplify all of our lives. Unable to load file. Okay, it loaded it anyway. It said unable to load file, gave me an error message, and now it's loading it. No. Am I in the right place? It has zeros there. It doesn't have...
Yeah, see the screen.
Okay, let me share the screen and see. That's crazy. I think I have to go back inside. It's too bright for me to see the screen. So you'll have to deal with me being purple in the indoor lighting because I can't find a place that's close enough to the window. See, now my face is black. You can't see me, but it's okay. All right, come back in here. Now I can see the screen. I was trying to be out in the sun, but that didn't work. All right, so let me share my screen. Okay, I'm going to go back to here, which is supplement tracking. Am I in the right one? This is the one that was...
Yeah, that's the right one right there. Keep that one on the screen and then get the test up. And then you scroll down.
Oh, okay. So you just put those in. You didn't put the whole... Okay, I was like, did it get so... I was just freaked out that it got All your work had gotten knocked out. Okay, so total omega-3 fish oil, 3,500. EPA is 910. DHA 655. Phospholipids, choline. Okay, other omega-3s. All right, so...
The reason it's like the way it is right now is because originally my blood pressure problem, Dr. Hopkins had said he wanted me on 3,000 to 5,000 of
fish. Yeah.
And I was taking one that was mostly the fish oil. It was the first column. It was 1,000. And I was taking 3 of those. But when we did the blood spot fatty acid last year, my EPA and DHA were too low. So I had to find some other things to bring the EPA and the DHA up. So I started juggling things where we came up with the other combination.
Mm-hmm.
You have the one from last time too, from the, I think it was the end.
This is the January 10th one. Right.
That's the new one.
And now they're up. You don't need to be on quite as much as you're on.
But I already kind of knew that because when I did, remember I mentioned when I did this blood spot fatty acid test, I bled and I did basically.
Right, like, you said you bled like crazy.
I was bleeding all over the bathroom. It took me about 10 minutes to get the culture to stop. So I knew that I needed to drop those. So I did, but I didn't know what to do until we got this back.
Okay, so a couple of things. Like, yeah, we can lower it, but we have to be careful not to lower it. We want to lower it for sure, but we also want to lower your AA, your arachidonic acid.
Right.
Because the ratio is you know, it's a reasonable ratio, but I don't want it to go higher than that because that's inflammatory. So the AA, how much, you're not eating a lot of meat, are you? How much meat? You're not eating any dairy, right?
Very little. I'm not eating the red meat right now. Mostly it's chicken.
Well, chicken will have arachidonic acid. Fish doesn't. Fish only has EPA, DHA, but chicken or fish or, I mean, chicken or beef or pork or dairy, eggs all have AA.
So, yeah, I also started eating a few more eggs because I'm trying to get totally away from grains. And so that might be one of the other
things. That might pump it up. The other thing is... your LA is high. So I would be looking at, you know, the chart we have on in the fats section of the nutrients thing. There's a chart that's it's a spreadsheet and you can put in your numbers to see your ratio of omega-3-6.
No, I'm not familiar with where that's at.
All right, I'll show you.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think you might want to be cutting back on some of the omega-6s, you know, sesame seeds. I don't know what you do that's omega-6. Almonds, let's see. Okay. Here we go. Healthy fats. So you're going into the Body Freedom Foundation's diet, and under diet, healthy fats.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, and so there's give your body. I'm not sure which of these page managing. It's probably the second one, but it might be the first one.
Here we go. Mostly I'm eating nothing but green smoothies and salads with a little bit of grilled or baked chicken, and then occasionally some scrambled eggs for breakfast. But I'm not eating a whole lot of anything really.
So have you done the Chronometer app?
No, I haven't.
Might want to do it there. I mean, you could do it in here if I can find it. There's a PDF version of the information. No, that's not it.
I eat macadamia nuts.
You what?
I eat macadamia nuts.
Those don't have a lot of either six or they're mostly, you know, saturated and monosaturated. Here we go. Number 5 on this page, that's give your body an oil change.
Okay.
Omega-3 and 6 content, but the quick part about it is, So I don't want to open up the, I'll just open up the PDF version of it, but I'll show you how it works. So it basically, you can plug in your numbers into here. And you can write, you know, just find the food and then put how much you had of it. And you'll get a sense of how much omega-3 and 6 you had.
Okay.
And at the bottom, it'll give you your ratio.
Okay.
This is a PDF version of it. And it gives you some recipes and it shows you how to do it. So you figure out, and where are your omega-6s? Again, you can do the same thing in Chronometer. You do the whole thing and put all your foods in there and see how much 6 and how much 3. Yep. But you want to get the 6 down a little, because when we look at your... Here we go. We look this. Yeah, arachidonic acid is high because all of the other precursors in the chain are high, right? And GLA is good. You know, we need GLA. We need it for hormone balance. We need it for a lot of things. But the AA and the AA. So there's more omega-6 than I'd like to see you have. But yeah, we want to bring the omega-3 back into the normal range, because too much omega-3 can make your blood too thin, right?
Right.
But I would say you also want to bring your LAs down.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
Okay.
And you'll be able to put your food in. The thing about Chronometer, you can put your foods in, mm-hmm. and see how what the ratios are, and then you can hover over that food and it'll tell, or hover over the nutrient. Say, okay, how much arachidonic acid am I getting? Where am I getting it from?
Okay.
And then you'll know where you can cut it.
Okay.
Okay.
I use a lot of these seed powders in the different seed cups.
Seed powders?
Yeah. I like hemp seed powder.
Hemp seed's better omega-3. Which other? Chia is better omega-3.
And pumpkin seed powder for the zinc.
Okay, yeah. Pumpkin seed. So it's powder, like it's the whole seeds that are ground up into a powder?
Right.
Yeah, that it might be from there, because pumpkin seeds, if you look at this sheet.
Okay, well, I was putting that in for the zinc, because my zinc is so bad.
Yeah, I get it. Here, pumpkin seeds.
Yeah, there they are.
Where are they?
Up at the top.
Oh, there we go. Pumpkin seeds, the ratio of omega-6 to 3 is 54. We're targeting for 3.
Oh,
okay. You see the ratio on hemp? It's 3.
I do. Okay. That's a problem then, because I'm using about a tablespoon of that. I can knock that down right away.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I see. That'll help a lot.
And see, like here, walnuts are 4, which is fine, but pecans are 20. Almonds are 1,700.
Oh, Lordy. I do almond milk. That's a little bit of almond milk every day, but that's not very much. Maybe.
Well, just check it out and put their numbers in and have it. I mean, it doesn't mean the thing is bad if it has a high ratio, because like macadamia nuts, it says 6. But if you look at the column that it has, the total amount of omega-6 is only 0.37. That's minuscule. It's meaningless. Same thing with the other one, cashews. It's not that much. It has some, but not that much compared to like almonds in 1 ounce is 3.4. They're 2.2, but still, there's a fair amount.
Okay.
So if you do cashew yogurt, whereas coconut, it's 0.11, and it has no omega 6, but it's only 0.11. Make sense?
Yeah, I can use that. I'll print that out as soon as I
can. Okay.
That'll
All right. So then I would say on the omega 3s, so if you're taking the 3,500, where are we? To cut back, I would probably, let's see, this one's EPA.
What I did was I
did a good EPA DHA ratio.
I prayed about these 3 bottles of oils. And I prayed really hard and I said, okay, God, what do I do? I can't wait to drop this. So which one do I drop? Well, what I got down to is that one that's in the middle column.
Yeah.
Is the Nordic Naturals, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the one that I got the word, that's what you need. But I might have to increase it, because it's not going to be enough total with the 2 capsules that I was taking. But that's what I've done, is I've dropped out all but the Nordic Natural, that column right there in the middle.
Okay.
It's got the good. Yeah.
So what the message you were getting is that you need more DHA than EPA. And that was the one I was honing in on as being, you know, they're about equal.
Okay. So that was the message that I got. So I have already dropped the one on the left and the one on the right.
All right. So what I would say is I would be getting, if you're going from 3,500, don't drop too far. I would go down to 2,000.
Okay.
So that would be four of those.
That's what I was going to say. That was my thoughts.
That was your thoughts too. Perfect. We're on the same wavelength.
Okay. Yeah, but the AA and the LA was the ones I didn't know what to do with on those. So cool. Alrighty.
Yeah, don't worry about AA and LA. You don't want it. You don't need it. So if you look at those, let me go back there.
Overall, at the bottom there.
You got plenty of AA and LA, so you don't need those.
Right. Those were actually the AA. I think.
Well, say that again.
The arachidonic acid was one's too high.
Oh, the arachidonic is not listed. There's no arachidonic in the fish oil.
Okay, right. No, they're not in the fish oil, but on my test it was. I didn't know what to do.
Yeah, on the test, right, that we want to bring that down. But the animal source foods, not the fish, and peanuts have AA.
Okay, I don't eat peanuts.
But that's it. In the plant community, the only one that has AA is peanuts.
Okay.
Just stay away from that.
Great.
Okay.
So I'll drop that I'll just drop out the other two and stick with the Nordic Natural in the middle and increase that.
Yeah, and it's a good source of phosphatidylcholine.
Yeah.
Which helps with acetylcholine, which is a neurotransmitter for parasympathetic. Okay.
Well, sunflower lecithin and Sasha Inchi and stuff, and those powders also in my smoothies.
Yeah, and the Sasha Inchi will have the shorter chain omega-3s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, okay?
I think that's great.
All right. Well, let's look at your other questions. So we went over the blood spot fatty acid. Okay. Was that everything?
That's pretty much it. That was pretty much it. I finally did get my SDAP in the last fall.
Yeah.
Started that last night.
You started the SDAP last night. Okay. So go slow with it. Don't rush it.
No, just one drop. And I adjusted all the other ones based on, you know, the Dutch test call. So everything's been adjusted and modified. I've been doing a lot of detoxing since it's winter, and that's when I like to do my detoxes.
Makes sense.
I got myself into a little bit of trouble. Things are changing in my body so quickly that I don't react to things like I used to. So when I started doing this liver detox, I got a little sorer than I'm used to.
In the liver?
In the liver. And, you know, I'm going, this is just really sore. And I went to get in the shower yesterday, and I looked in the mirror just before I stepped in, and I realized my side was all swollen up. My liver swelled something fierce. It was just bulging out my side. And I thought, well, no wonder it's sore. So I had to back up a little bit on...
And get on the castor oil packs.
Oh, I'm doing them. I've been doing them because I've been sore over there whilst, you know, detoxing. But then the other thing that dawned on me after I realized I better slow down a little bit, because apparently I'm reacting a little bit better. So after I'm, you know, clearing all this stuff out of my system. Anyway, it was just a real interesting experience. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Watch that.
Liver bulging.
The liver to be bulging.
No. No. And I've been doing the castor oil packs. So that was let's see, what did I do? I backed off of everything for the last 2 days. I'm feeling a lot better today. It's about half the size it was yesterday.
Okay. And they keep doing the castor oil packs and then ease into stuff. Because you tend to be, you know, a gung-ho, and you have all your herbs and you have a great arsenal there.
Well, and this is what I've been doing too, is I went back to my liver tonic, and that's the only thing I've been taking is to support my liver. And I've been taking that like about every hour or two, just one dropper full under the tongue. And that's helped a lot. So I stopped the detox. It's like, this is too much. I think things are, I'm used to certain dosages of things, and the dosage isn't the same anymore.
So you need less now.
Right. That's
your body's more sensitive. That's a good sign.
yes, I'm just trying to clear things out. And then the other thing was the when we were going through the genetics section, which is coming up in a month or two for some of the new people that haven't done the genetics. My phase one detox is fine, but my phase two is slow.
It's sluggish.
That was what dawned on me is I've been clearing everything fast through phase one, and then it's stuck.
Right. What I would recommend is go into, I'm going to share the screen again. I'm going to show you where I want you guys, anybody that's dealing with that, to go into. Okay, so if I go into here, so if we go to the pillar, the environment pillar, liver detoxification pathways, that one?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, there's a presentation. You can watch the presentation and the slides to the presentation. Print out some of these charts because it helps you to what foods, what nutrients will help support each of the phases.
Mm-hmm.
Book in here, induces of phase one, and a lot of the stuff you try speeds up phase one. But here, when phase two gets backed up, this is what was happening to you,
right? Yeah, that's it.
Exactly, right?
That's what I was picturing.
That's what you're experiencing. Yep. So, okay. Why is that? Okay. I think I made it. Let me just make it normal. All right. I just go. Okay.
I also bumped up my GI detox capsules to hopefully suck some of that.
You want to keep your gut moving, but then here's each of the phase twos. I break it down not just into these things are good for supporting phase two, but each of the ones. So making sure that you're, you know, adding some of the foods, many of the things you're already doing, but this will give you. So these are good charts to just have. Okay.
Fantastic. Thanks for the reminder.
Yep.
There's so much information in that program. I keep forgetting that it's there.
Sometimes I do too.
Well, yeah, but it's like I've been in the program long enough now where some of the stuff is actually stuck in the brain now. And I can actually retrieve it. Like, standing there looking at my liver going, oh, that's not right.
That's right. You're experiencing that. I love Lucy C.
Yeah. That's the best part of that one. Yeah, for sure.
All right. Thank you, Diana.
You have a great time in Hawaii. You have some poi for me, would you? Taro root.
Sweet potato, right?
It's the taro root. Yeah, there's no sugar in it.
No sugar, I know, but they had some at the buffet and people were tasting it going, ew.
Ew. Yeah. Born and raised on it. That was my first food as a baby.
As a baby?
Yeah.
Oh, that would set you up for liking bitter stuff because,
it's slightly tangy. Most of the locals, they eat it with the lomi lomi salmon, which is basically kind of like a salsa with the smoked salmon.
Oh, wow.
And if you eat them together, then they kind of balance each other. It's a real salty salty taste with them.
Interesting.
Poi is definitely something you have to acquire.
It has to be an acquired taste. That's what people said. What I did like was the Molokai sweet potato. It's a purple sweet potato. Yeah, I ate a little too much of it, and it raised my blood sugar. But it was like one of the meals, I kept telling them, make sure there's whole food plant-based fats at every meal so I can have a huge amount of vegetables with my fats. And there was like, oh, I don't see anything here that's going to fill me up. I'm not going to get filled up on lettuce and tomato. So sweet potato, and it had a macadamia nut cream on it with macadamia nuts chopped with a coconut cream. I thought, okay, I'll just have that. I ate too much of it and it raised my blood sugar. So. But very good. That I have a taste for.
Absolutely.
All right. Cool. Thank you. So who else? Oh, Sarah, how are you doing? Come on, open up your line.
Oh, yeah. I want to say, hi, Sarah.
Hey, Diana.
Kisses. How's Joseph doing?
Okay. He's improving.
Okay.
He's still getting his stamina back.
Yes.
There's a miracle, miraculously, when he's looking straight ahead now, he can see 100% completely 20/20, no double vision and no blur. Good. But his right eye is still not quite tracking. And so sometimes when he looks to the right, in some little angles he can see the 20/20, but the others he's got the double vision, and to the left I think it's a double vision. And so his left side is a little bit weak.
It's weak. But, does he have any residual paralysis anywhere?
Not anymore.
Oh, good. But,
you know, he had some ting, and then it went to tingling, and then now it's gone.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's really, really good.
Good, good. And I understand that he doesn't want to be on medications, but sometimes you have to be on as you're, you know, going through a crisis, a life-saving situation. And what I would like to do is, if he's open to it, you're open to it, is hop on a call with you with that list of the stuff they put him on, and let's have a conversation, and let's just kind of, you know, help you put together a plan for him for some of the other things that you can do.
Thank you so much. I would love that. That is what I would like to do, because, you know, we've done a whole lot of research, but we have found out things like fish oils, just for example. I don't know about the algae, but fish oils are going to, they're an anticoagulant. He's on anticoagulants, and I don't want to mess that up.
Right. You've got to, everything has to be done in a very phased approach, looking at, okay, what are you on? What's the effect of that? What are they trying to do with that? What are some of the herbs and the nutrients that can do that too? And then working with the doctor to say, look, I want to do this. How much can I reduce this? How do I know, you know, if I'm on the right track? So we can come up with a plan for that. And then awesome. You follow through. Awesome. There's herbs, and he knows a lot about herbs, but there's a lot of herbal things. And
yeah,
look at these things as wake up calls, right?
Yes. Yes.
You know what I mean? And like, I wish I had a wake up call like that, right? What? 50% of people with some sort of cardiac problem, they don't get the wake up call. They just, like my parents, just, they have a heart attack and they're gone. So I would be in gratitude that he's got a wake up call. And I know he's been working at, but not maybe 100% diligent at, you know, some of the stuff, and his shift work doesn't help. Right? That shift work is a strain on the body. And so let's just sit down and let's just map it all out. And if Janet is his coach, right? If Janet wants to be on that call and you want that too, she can be there, because then she can help to, you know, to make sure that you guys have all your questions answered for that.
Oh, that just sounds perfect. Yeah.
That sounds great.
You know, I know they'll have to take his vitals every 2 weeks or whatever. I don't even know how often, if he's going to be doing that, getting off, pulling off those drugs, right?
Did they do a calcium scan?
I don't know about a calcium scan, but I thought they did everything. So he was in the ICU for a couple of days, you know.
But here's the thing, right? He had a stroke. And they go, oh, a stroke. It's above the neck, right? So let's check the carotids and let's check the brain. But they don't realize it's the same system as below the neck, right? Looking at the heart and the vessels to the heart, you know, it's an indication that there is something going on in the cardiovascular system, the vascular part that went into the brain. And we don't want, you know, to go, oh, let's just look at this, but not look at this, right? And move from there. So anyway, that's one thing. And then the advanced lipids, I don't know if they've done that, but whatever test results, if you can get, make sure that you get a copy of all the test results that he had in the hospital.
Have to go online and get them, but we can get them. Wait, yes. I asked them about that. So
get them, and we'll look at those. If you get them to me before we meet, we'll look at those in advance, see what imbalances are there that need to be addressed. Right? And what nutrients might be helpful to address it. But you're right on. You can't just say, let's just go on fish oils and he's on an anticoagulant. And, you know, stroke, there's kinds of stroke. There's an obstructive stroke what's the word? I just had it in my brain, but where it's the blood is thin, it's too thin, and you get both. It's either an obstruction, you know, a clot, or that the blood gets too thin, hemorrhagic stroke. So there's a couple of different kinds, and you can cause a hemorrhagic stroke by thinning the blood too much, right?
Right. Now he's on a blood thinner, right? Or more than one, probably, I think.
Exactly. And there's a lot of, you know, things in the food that can be addressed, but Right.
Right. You know, like I was reading about lowering your blood pressure because blood pressure was so through the roof, right? And it's all about beets and things like that. And I'm like, I don't think I need to be playing around by giving him beet juice right now. This is not until we have a plan.
Not until we have a plan. And let's look at it and let's look at the meds. And you have to be very careful, like you said, or either potentiating a med or counteracting a med, right? And then, and having a plan that then you go, okay, cardiologist or whatever, whatever kind of doctor you're going to be referred to is to monitor, is that they be open. That they be open. And you can't just throw fish oil at it.
Right. You can't just throw this. Yeah. Right. So right. We want to be careful about that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, send him my love and tell him that we're thinking, we're all of the whole community is
everybody has just been so wonderful. Thank
supporting
you.
Him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Caregivers are special, Sarah. So you take care of yourself too. Everyone's been telling you that, and it's hard because you get so busy, but you look good. So you keep resting.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes. Well, that's what I was going to ask Rita Marie. Thank you, Janet. You know, yesterday I hit a wall and I crashed big time. But you know, isn't that what your adrenals are for? To help you chase that tiger, man. I was Wonder Woman in that hospital, you know? That's what they're for, right?
That's what they're for. And then they need to rest.
Now I need to re-nourish them, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you know how to nourish them, and you know how to nourish yourself emotionally and spiritually, and go in your art room and, you know, get some art out of you, you know, all of that stuff. Don't feel like, oh, I have to go take care of him. I can't do my art. The art is going to give you that power, that mental clarity and that energy to be able to better take care of him. So when we're caretakers, Annette talked about this yesterday in her diabetes caregivers thing, the importance of taking care of yourself so that you can take care of that loved one that needs you.
Yes. And also, you know, the CAFE program, I haven't been there, but I'm going to go and review that wonderful, wonderful module on herbs and food for adrenal support.
Yeah.
Just for me.
For you. Right. Yeah. You don't have to worry about counteracting anything. You just go in there and, you know, your vitamin C levels need to be elevated, right? Because you're burning up a lot. B5 maybe, but you know, some of those herbs like the adaptogens, ashwagandha, lemon balm, you know, some of the things to calm it down, right? Because you've gone into stage one, like, whoa, gotta get out there.
And I'm still so capable of going right there. I'm not really calmed down yet. So I am getting more sleep, but you know, I dug out the chaga, chunks of chaga, and we have astragalus root in Hoshuwu, and I thought I'd do this monster decoction, put it in the fridge so I could at least drink that every day, already be made, something that would, well, that's the beginning of my research anyway. I haven't been through to review that module yet, but just something.
Do some of the calming things, though, like sit with a cup of lemon balm tea, right? That kind of stuff, that very gentle nervine to help just calm those little frail edges of the nerves.
Okay. I think they're still frail, right?
Well, they are. I'm sure they are there, and you were able to mount that, which is good, right? You had the reserve to be able to mount it. Now you want to replenish.
Now I want to replenish, right. You want to replenish.
Take time for heart math. Take time for art. Take time for... Well, maybe not school outside in the snow, but, you know, that sort of stuff that replenishes you.
Yeah, because I've been doing things like bursting like crazy, but that's not, you know, the calm down.
It's good, but you alternate the calm down.
Yes, right.
Right? And just, you know that you're enough and that you need to re-nourish yourself so that you can be there to support him.
Yeah, because I may need to be strong Wonder Woman again because, you know, I don't know if this local doctors are going to say, sure, it's no problem for us to, you know, back him off the meds, where I may need to step in and say, we are going to be doing something that's going to be affecting the meds. You know, yes. We need to get it changed.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, when he's back a little bit, you know, looking at the kinds of things that reverse cardiovascular disease, like studies show, right, the McDougall stuff and the Ornish stuff is, well, that combination, meditation, right, the good food, right, off of the stuff, fasting or intermittent fasting, but fasting can be phenomenal for that.
He's good at that.
Well, good.
Let's oh, I did that. My first 24-hour fast while he was in the hospital. It was a piece of cake. So.
Stop!
My priorities changed and it was nothing. So I thought that was great.
I'm listening to a book on longevity. I'll let you know. I got, you know, most of it I really like. A couple of things I didn't like as much. But he's talking about all his studies on anti-aging and, you know, talking about the importance of learning to be hungry, you know? That feeling of hunger, it's good for longevity. It's good for everything that ails you. And it's just sitting with that and going, oh, okay, I'm hungry. Yeah,
yeah,
that's really great. Look at all these great things that are happening in my body.
Yeah, yeah. So there, I thought that there's a good thing that happened.
Yeah, you got it. You got this. You know, we'll just thing, you know, reach out. We'll figure out a time. I'm still here next week. I want to have time to really look at it, but maybe like towards the end of next week or beginning of the week after. Is that a good time?
Oh, sure.
Wait too long.
I just have to find, should I ask Angelica? I couldn't the other day, but you know, I really wasn't. I got so tired. I couldn't think. It's not brain fog. I think it's just exhaustion.
Yeah.
Really would it.
The calendar and send you, I'll have Monique send you sometimes because it may be off the regular schedule because a lot of those times are taken, but no big deal. I reserve times. So
I just couldn't find where I sign up for an appointment.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is those appointments are set for, you know, 10 to 6 on Tuesday, Thursday, and those might be filled for a while out. And we'll look at some times outside of that to see what we can get you in for. In fact, I'll look here. In fact, I will look and tell you. If there's a time.
In fact, we will schedule you as a priority. I can't find my schedule somewhere, but yeah.
Yeah, so I could do it right after Paula on the 4th at 10:30 a.m. Central, which is 12, an hour later, right?
That's 11:30 my time, and that is on February 4th.
11:30 my time, 12:30 your time.
12:30 my time, February 4th.
Yeah. Or I could do it at 6 p.m. your 7 p.m.
Which one is happier for you? Because,
I could do it on Thursday if that's better. And Thursday I could do it anywhere from like 10 a.m. to noon my time, which would be 11 a.m. to why don't we do it that way?
Okay.
That way it's not squeezed into other stuff. 10 a.m. my time, which would be 11 a.m. your time on the 6th.
February 6th.
Yeah, I'm going to put you in.
11 a.m. my time?
Yeah.
And will I know the Zoom number? Or is it you have numbers, lots of numbers, right?
Yeah, the Zoom numbers are usually specific to it. So I'll have Monique create a Zoom for that and then send you the link.
Thank you. We'll have it all. We'll have those labs and it would be wonderful. Right. That works also for Janet.
Right. Yeah. Yes, we'll get that. Does that work for you, Janet?
Have Monique copy me on the link.
I'll have Monique send you the link. She'll set it up and then she'll send it.
Sarah, remember Lynn's here. Lean on her. She has amazing elixirs and different things to help you with your adrenals and your work too. So
okay, I wanted to
lean on you guys so hard.
We're here. That's what we're here for, is to support everybody.
Yeah.
They need it. Not like some people, they join a program like this or they do, you know, some coaching sessions with us and then they disappear and we're like, what happened? You know, and oh, I went off track and this happened. And it's like, that's what we are here for you.
Yeah.
You don't need us when things are good. You need us when things are not so good.
Yeah. It's kind of like you wait to call the plumber until you've cleaned the bathroom from the toilet that overfilled.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't do that.
Hello?
The toilet had the everything overflowed all over the floor, and I walked away, and I said, you go fix it.
Yeah. I wanted to pop in and say, Sarah, check in with yourself and make sure that you're not picking up other people's stuff. Right? Because there's a lot of energy that's coming around from all these different people. And sometimes, because like where I'm at, I live in a very rural area. It's easy for me to just kind of, my husband's like, what's wrong with you? Because I'm here and I'm just like, because I'm in a big city and there's just this whole feeling that I kept getting and I realized what was happening. So I did my Laura Fine stuff.
Oh, so you're in Utah. That's right. You're in-
We left a day early because we were having days of snow and ice storms. And so, so that was the first thing I wanted to make sure. Make sure, check in, is this mine or is this other people's stuff? And then you know what to do. But, you know, we were talking about taking extra good care of yourself right now. And I read this quote from this guy named David Pond, and I feel like it just puts it beautifully. He says, feel it, bless it, release it.
Mm.
So.
That's very good.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Feel it. I can feel it. I can handle it.
You know, the thing
today,
when you're trying to be strong for other people, like for your kids or your partner or whatever, you don't actually let yourself feel it.
I know. That's so true.
Yeah.
I can't, like, you know, nobody's going to see me cry. I mean, it's just like super efficient. I watched myself do this. I didn't cry till yesterday. So I know.
Well, and sometimes when we're with other family members,
well,
you know, and you need to be in a safe space, right?
Right.
So you waited till you felt you were safe. And again, like what Laura says is you feel it, you look at it, you observe it, and it's okay to, because many of you, I think we have this cult of positivity. Everything has to be positive. Nope. Negative feelings, or what they call negative, are a part of us. They're just a part of us. And so if you are feeling stuff during this time and like being pissed off or something like that, it's okay. It's okay to say, you know what? I was feeling that way. And then you breathe and say, thank you for being there because you had a lesson to teach me, but I'm safe now. I'm good. And it's okay to go.
It's okay to cry, and it's okay.
Absolutely.
And you can't, you don't want to do that in front of Joseph when he's suffering.
Yes,
I did it.
Doctors, but you do it and really let yourself feel it and honor, because negative feelings are a signal. It's all signal. Everything's a signal, right? And letting yourself just go, okay, yeah, I'm pissed off and I'm upset and I'm scared, like really name it. And then you can go, okay, and now what do I do about it? Right now I have an action plan. Right, I'm going to go take a bath, or I'm going to go do some art. You know, maybe you just go in there and blah, 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 with two brushes and like just let the colors roll and let your feelings come out, because that's a way for you to express yourself, right? Without making a picture, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right. The process, not the art. Right,
the
process,
not the, you know. The
Right.
Yeah, as an artist and as somebody who's professional at this, you expect, you know, no,
mm-mm.
You know, and let that out, because it's coming through. It's a tangible way to come, let the feelings go into something tangible.
Okay, thank you, because I'm not, I had it like, oh, well, I'll do it later. I'll get to it, but I have to take care of all this stuff first, right? No.
Mm-mm. No, because you'll be better able to take care of that other stuff.
Right. Thank you. Yeah.
Otherwise, realize you're taking care of other stuff and your mind is all,
yeah, man.
And you're trying to control the emotions and it's taking you away from the focus of what you need to do. So you let the emotions go, blah, whatever it takes. And then you go back and now you can handle what you have to handle.
Right, right. Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. You're welcome. You're welcome.
Okay.
The night before I was leaving for Hawaii, so Sunday, I had promised myself after building my art studio that I was going to go in and I was going to spend an hour a week. And I'm like, I got to pack. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I can't do it. And I said, I'm going to do this. So I went in there and we were trying to like test the kiln out. So I just went in there and all I did was like take these pots that were ready to go in. And I just did these little things with them, with the little cutter thing and what do you call it? Sandpaper thing to just, and I was there for 2 hours and it was like, just with my hands on the clay, right? It made such a difference. And then I was able to focus and do what I needed to do. And then Kevin's girlfriend called me the day we're leaving, right? The night before we're leaving. And she says, oh, are you guys going to be up for a while? I have something I want to bring over for the art studio. And I'm thinking, what does she have that can't wait till we get back in 2 weeks? So she came over and it was like 10 o'clock at night. She comes over and she painted this beautiful sign that said Rita Marie's Art Studio. And it had all the colors and it was on a canvas. And I was like, oh. We went out there because we have to find the right place to hang it. We went out there, we found the place to hang it and we hung it. And it just made my night. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to do what I have to do. But I just allowed myself to just fall into that feeling. And that sometimes we're afraid to do that because we're afraid we're not going to get our work done.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Much more efficient at it than when you actually take the time for creativity.
All right. It's a deal.
Okay. Good.
All right. Dr. Rita Marie, Heather said she wanted to go next. Just one.
Okay, good. Yeah. Heather, where are you? There she is up at the top. Hi, Heather.
Hi. My submission, I guess, my RSVP submission didn't make it to you. So you didn't get a chance to look at my labs, but the ones that you had recommended that I do to kind of rule out the polycythemia vera, I got done. And I'm not really able to interpret what all this means. So I'm hoping you can take a look at it and kind of tell me. I had all of the ones that you suggested, the blood health ones and the homocysteine, the HCRP, which I had redone. Mm-hmm. And then there's the vitamins, minerals, fatty acids, which I can probably figure out some on my own if I go through that unit you referenced. But the blood health ones were the ones that were probably my biggest area of concern.
Did you get that done on your own, like through the, or did you? Okay.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I found that the Ulta Labs has a phlebotomist right here in my town.
Perfect. Okay, so I'm going to go to the lab results. Are they in? Oh, it tells me the same thing again, unable to load file, and then it loads it.
You have everything. You have it in the master tracker. Perfect. And you have it as individual lab reports, and then there's a summary lab report with just the numbers on a big sheet.
But are all the numbers in the master tracker? So if there's anything to look there. Okay, so your glucose surprisingly was, I'm looking at the wrong one. There we go. You didn't do glucose. Okay. I was like 97. That was but that was before you did the fasting and all that other stuff. So, all right. It's the 117. So there's a 13 and a 117. Is that right?
Yes. The 117 are the recent ones.
Okay. So your iron was 77. Mm-hmm. All right, so your white cell count went from 7.4 to 9.1. Did you have a cold or anything?
Yeah, I did. And I was trying to get these done. I felt better. I felt like I had finally recovered. I was trying to get these done in time for this call. And, but I think that my body was still very much in recovery because some of these numbers were pretty, there was a big change on one of them. There was a huge jump that was related to inflammation. HCRP.
Your hematocrit and hemoglobin came down into the green range.
Yes.
So that's good.
Yes.
Your MCV was good before. It's better now. RDW is normal now. So any anemia markers that were there before are gone. Your mind is 10.5. So that's usually a sign of a recovery, but it was 10 last time and it was 8 before that. So, well, that'll be curious to see what that is when you're not in cold recovery mode. Eosinophils, okay. So homocysteine is on the high side.
And for the first time, you have ferritin result for me, and iron, the total iron binding capacity you didn't have before.
Yeah, and those are all good. And the iron... You go back up to the iron, I think it was 77 or something. So what was that? 77, yeah. So it's borderline low, but compared to where you were before, we never had that before. So let's look at the ferritin. Is it okay if I share my screen? That way you know what I'm looking at.
Yeah. Yep.
Let me just do that. Share. And... All right. Okay, so the C-reactive protein is high, but that will go high when you're in a viral infection. My husband always had you had a 1.9. He always had 0.3, and we had it done and it was 22. And I was like freaked out. And it turned out that we're going to go back in and do it in 6 weeks. And it was back to 0.2. So,
okay. So six weeks is about the right time.
Yeah. Sometimes it takes that long. I just wanted to give it plenty of time to go down.
Mm-hmm.
But the homocysteine high, iron saturation, yeah, ferritin was 122. What was it? What were the numbers?
Never had it before.
Yeah, you never had it before, so it's a little high. What? But the RBCs were fives, and now they're fours. So it's most likely not a polycythemia thing. It was my concern was with the fives on the RBCs and the mm-hmm. high hemoglobin and all that. But the fact that your iron is a little on the slightly low side, 77 versus 80 is where the optimal range starts. And the ferritin is 122, and I like to usually see that 40 to 50 in a female. That usually would indicate some sort of liver stress or inflammation.
Hmm. Okay.
I'm going to go back, and your D has kind of been hovering around then that 60s, and you probably want to bump up your D.
Yep. Because I had bumped it up in the fall, and it didn't make, that was 3,000 more milligrams, and I had been at 10,000, and my allopathic doctor was pretty freaked out about that, but I think that's actually the right amount for a while to get it
to bump
up again.
Yep, you were 10,000. I mean...
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, some people, especially if you have vitamin D issues genetically, where it's hard, you just need to have higher amounts. That's it, you know?
And I'm finding as I'm going through the new report that you recommended, which is great.
The genetic detoxification.
The genetic testing book. Yeah, this one. That was great. I'm understanding that better than I did the other tests. Just the way they describe it, I'm finding a lot of issues with vitamin D and vitamin B.
Yeah. So I would stick with that 10,000. But when you bump your, when you're trying to find that right dose of vitamin C, you want to get it retested at no more than 3 months. 6 weeks, okay. And swing it. But the homocysteine being high. Now, your MCV is normal. That's another indirect marker of B12 status. Homocysteine. I'm going to look at a couple of other things from previous numbers. RBC, where are we? The white blood cells are high probably because of the colds. MCV. Yeah, 88. It's even better than it was last time. It's always been, you know, pretty much in the ideal range. But the homocysteine, so likely, let me look back at some previous liver numbers. From a previous one, ALKFAS, we've never had ALKFAS. Huh. Never had alkaline phosphatase. That would be a good one to get. Let's see, albumin protein. It's never been a problem here, or not there, not taken. These are all ones that your doctors did?
Mm-hmm.
Previous ones, they're very incomplete.
Yeah, you commented on that. That's why I just went after getting the stuff myself.
Yeah. I'm going to look at the liver enzymes. They must have done liver. What? They have never done a liver panel?
So I need to do that.
Yeah. I would say wait 4 to 6 weeks from this previous test. So that would be like, you know, mid to end of February. And I would do, if you go to, let me just look at your thyroid. I think your thyroid was done full before.
Yeah, there's lots of thyroid.
3T3. Yeah, but it still is off. So I would recommend... So in the meantime, right now, up your vitamin D. Do you take any B6?
Yes. I take Magdalena's B Maximus.
Okay, how much is in it? I think you need to be on about 25 to 50 milligrams of P5P.
That's the B12?
B6.
B6. Yes, that's in her formulation.
Okay.
And so what's the dose?
Somewhere between 25 and 50.
Okay.
Sometimes the B complexes don't quite have that much.
And I definitely have those markers that say I have problems with those pathways.
So probably 50. Because I'm not seeing, like, your MCV's never been an issue. I don't know that it's your B12 or folate, but... Mm. You know, usually with the homocysteine, it's an issue with B12, B6, and folate. You know, one or the other or some combination. So a lot of the, like, there's a product from Seeking Health called Homocystex, and it's got B12, B6, and folate in it, right? But I'm not convinced that there's a B12 or folate issue here based on the other numbers. But the B6 for sure. And that's why I'd love to see the liver. So I would get on some more B6, make sure you're on about, you know, 50. I would do 50 milligrams of P5P and then redo, get some more blood testing in about 6 weeks. And I want a CMP, which will give all of the stuff that you're missing in here for all these times, plus all the stuff you're missing down here.
Okay. That's a complete metabolic panel.
Complete metabolic panel, plus the CBC, plus vitamin D and homocysteine.
Okay.
Right. As far as the ferritin being high, I'm thinking it's probably related to some inflammation somewhere, and possibly liver, and we don't have liver stuff, but we're going to test the liver. So let's do, have you ever taken milk thistle?
I haven't. I could.
Get seeds. You can actually get milk thistle seeds. You can get milk thistle seed extract from places like Z Natural Foods, and you can just add a couple of spoonfuls to your smoothies.
Okay.
Right? And that's an antioxidant for the liver. And so if there's some inflammation that's causing that ferritin to be a little high, that's going to help with that. And then we'll do like 6 weeks of those changes, and then redo the stuff so that we can see what's going on.
Okay.
I'm shocked that there was even a liver panel done. That's like normal part of, you know, an physical. And they didn't have either iron or ferritin. Like usually they'll do one or the other. Okay.
Yeah.
I always ask the question, where did these guys go to school?
Okay. And then the resource for the seed extract, you said that, can you say that again, the milk thistle seed extract?
He is in Zebra Natural Foods. Z Natural Foods.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Yeah, milk thistle. That's the easiest. I mean, you could get the seeds and you can grind them and you can make a gomashio and other things with it. So if you go to the blog, there's a thing called Liver Lovers Gomashio on there. And you might want to look at that because it's got broccoli seeds and liver stuff and it's just a fun thing. And then, you know, you can just add it to you. You make a gomashio is like a seasoning mixture. So you'd
put
vegetables in it and then you'd have that. So you can do that and get the extract to get a little bit more.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Great. You're welcome. All right. Who else? Questions, comments, support? It's Paula. Oops. You're muted. Let's see. Can you?
There we go.
Hi.
Hi.
Can I say something, Paula? You look really good. You look really bright. Your face looks bright. So like before Christmas and when you were going through all that stuff with your gut, you kind of looked like it was taking a toll.
Yeah, well, it was. Definitely.
It was, obviously.
It definitely was. And we're, you know, we haven't solved the mystery, but I have gotten some encouraging news.
Oh, good.
About the whole process. Yes, I had another CT scan last Thursday. And the doctor called me on Monday to give me his preliminary thoughts. I actually see him tomorrow. Great. But he said, I see no inflammation on the CT scan, on this new one. There is no inflammation showing in the cecum area. And he said there is no reason at this time to do exploratory surgery.
Yay.
Right? He did recommend that I have another CT scan in 3 months.
Okay.
And this time with the full prep. I didn't have to drink the solution for the one last week like I had done for the very first one. They injected the dye this time, which the contrast, I guess it's called, which gives some kind of clarity than without it. But next time I'm supposed to do the whole thing again.
Was it a barium that you were swallowing? Was it a barium?
I think it was iodine. Injected IV.
Oh, okay. But Tom, when you say the full prep is, how does that differ from what you?
It's drinking 2 bottles of a solution a couple hours before you have the test.
Okay, so that's what I was wondering, if that was barium. Because sometimes.
I don't know.
It's a coating in it. Yeah.
Yeah, it might have been. Yeah.
Okay.
But today I got an email. They sent me the actual report from the scan, and there's something on here that he did not mention, but I'll see him tomorrow and, you know, we'll go into more details tomorrow. It says pancreatic atrophy.
Interesting.
A 1.2 by 0.8 centimeter cyst is noted in the pancreatic tail. The cystic structure may represent small pancreatic pseudocyst or potentially small cystic neoplasm. Again, interval follow-up surveillance was recommended to document stability. So pancreatic atrophy, of course, naturally I spent, you know, the next hour looking that up online. And that was not anything noted on the original CT scan. The original scan said liver, gallbladder, pancreas, unremarkable. So there's something that showed up on this one that was not seen the first time.
So the questions, here's a list of questions to ask. Number one, was it, you know, have him actually look at the scans?
Yeah. Was it
just not noted? Or, you know, was it not there? Because it seems like if there's a cyst there and it's only like a couple of months, that there would have been some sign of it. Although cysts, if there's anything like an ovarian cyst, they come and they go quickly, but it's not, you know, don't think it would be something that would come on that quickly. So yeah, I would, and atrophy, you know, it may explain some of the issues you have with blood sugar, but you never had low insulin. You've always had, well, initially you've had high insulin and you've got it under control.
Right, right.
Diabetic atrophy would be low digestive enzymes, low insulin.
Well, I think I have low digestive enzymes, you know, for a long time. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So it may just not be that, you know, if it's in the exocrine part of the pancreas versus the endocrine part, the endocrine being where it produces insulin, and then the exocrine being where it produces the digestion, the same place.
Okay.
So these are good questions to ask. Was it not noted before or just wasn't there? Was there something about the angle or something that they took these pictures that they were able to visualize something on the pancreas more? And that might be why he wants to look at it in 3 months too, is to look at that, but he didn't mention it. So, you know, was it not there? Was it just,
right.
If it is there, then you want to look at what was the change. You know, if it's something that came on suddenly, then you definitely want to be watching it. But if it was just not really noted and it was there before, and it hasn't changed, you know, what's the implications of it?
Right.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I'm kind of disappointed. I thought that this scan was going to somehow be more specific for the appendix. And it says right on here, the appendix is not definitely visualized. So I thought, you know, because that's what we were trying to figure out, was if I had appendicitis, if I had acute appendicitis.
Yeah. But here's the thing, Paula. The appendix is so small that if it's not inflamed, you're probably not going to see it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that sounds good.
So, I mean, it's a little itty bitty thing. It's really tiny, right? So if it's not inflamed, it's not going to be visualized.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is good, right?
Exactly.
In that area, that whole cecum area is right around where the appendix, the ileocecal area. So that's good news. And yeah, no exploratory surgery is good news as well.
Right. Yeah.
And overall, you're feeling better still?
I still have the lump, the tender lump is still there. So, you know, we have not defined what that is. That's still there. So I know he's going to palpate that tomorrow. He said so on the phone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
And is it a muscular, you know, can he differentiate in palpating?
That's my question. Because that's what I thought it was in the first place. When this whole thing started, I thought I had pulled my psoas muscle. And then because
it's pretty deep. So, you know, well, you're thin though, but if the psoas is pretty deep, so it's harder to actually feel. But
so it would be an abdominal one instead. Yeah.
There's the transverse and then there's the oblique.
Right, right.
So, you know, where you're actually feeling it, it could be there. Yeah. Yeah, I think getting in and palpating it and seeing, you know, if there's mobility, if there's movability, if you know, almost like if there is a lump there, can you get your hand to kind of feel around it? Is it in the superficial or is it deeper? Those are right. Things to really be looking at. Is it a swollen lymph node? But how big would you say it is?
Well, I don't know. It was very noticeable a couple months ago when this whole thing started, but definitely went down. You know, it was very painful. So, and it's just tender at this point.
It's tender.
Yeah.
And can you feel like if you were to, you know, palpate around it, does it feel like it's the size of a pea? Does it feel like it's the size of a golf ball?
Bigger, definitely bigger than a pea, but it felt more elongated, as if it were a muscle, you know, as if there was a real, and I thought, did I tear a muscle, you know? So anyway, you know, we've gone through this whole process, and certainly there have been a lot of good aspects to having done this, but,
yeah. All right. Well, keep us posted on how that goes.
Yeah. Yep.
And you overall look healthier. So that's a good sign.
Well, when they said, you know, mass in the cecum, that had me pretty
worried, right?
Yeah, pretty worried there for a period of time until doing the colonoscopy. Yeah.
Well, we'll see what this pancreatic thing is. I'm just going to do a quick pancreatic cyst search. Sac-like pockets of fluid. Most aren't cancerous. Most don't cause symptoms. Most are typically found on during imaging for something else. They're mostly benign. Should I be worried about a pancreatic cyst? Most of them are found by accident on a CT scan. Most don't. Whoa. It just, you know, one of those things popped up. So they can do an ultrasound to get, you know, a close up is what I'm reading.
Of the pancreas.
Yeah. So I would be asking, like, what's the best way to find out more about it? Because it's just found incidentally on a
right.
But if they actually focus, like with an ultrasound, they can go all around it, you know, and they can tell if it's a cyst, if it's a fluid cyst, or if it's more of a thick, viscous kind of fluid.
Mm-hmm.
That's a better word in there.
Yeah.
Well, good. Just make your list of questions. And, you know, just make sure you get through all your questions before he says, okay, we're time's up. Goodbye.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. And it, you know, it's most likely just something benign, but the atrophy is interesting. Like, ask him about that. Like, what does that mean, atrophy? Was it small? Is it smaller now than it was 3 months ago when we had this?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And maybe if you've had some pancreatic atrophy and, you know, just had a smaller pancreas than usual all along, that would affect your digestive function and would explain, you know, some of the issues with digestion.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, reinforce the need for enzymes.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. You're welcome. Anybody else? Questions or comments? I'm not reading the chat, so if there's a bunch of stuff in there. Anything? No, I don't think it's not chronic pancreatitis that shows up differently. Yeah.
Yeah, but in some of the stuff I was reading, they had said chronic pancreatitis could be a part of it, but I've never heard her say anything about it in any of our coaching sessions, so...
No. Your suitcase was half the size of the cooler, filled with food.
Yeah, we got two hotel rooms, and I used my refrigerator and my kid's refrigerator with all of my stuff.
Good for you. We have to take care of ourselves.
That's my goal for this year.
Yeah.
And to this is for everybody, because I'm my own client. I actually created my own bowel movement tracking chart.
Good for you.
But my life is so exciting. But I can do 2 to 3 weeks of taking care of myself, and then usually I've allowed other things to come in, and I've been working on just that mindset and just being really grounded and committed that it's okay that I do that self-care. And self-care doesn't mean, anything elaborate. It can mean making sure I eat the foods I, and drinking the water that I need, and just how I think about myself, making sure when I get uptight because people are talking at me, just
breathing.
That's self-care. Right.
That is total self-care. And you and others are empathetics. You're empaths, and you pick up the feelings around you. Really, like you told Sarah.
Yes.
And saying, whose is this?
Mm-hmm.
Whose is this?
Yeah, right? Exactly.
By picking up, and how do I let it go? And right. Self-care is the ultimate form of other care.
Exactly. I was sharing with some people the other day that I was looking at it like we're all a part of this big tapestry. And we're each a thread in that tapestry. And if you don't know anything about tapestry, there's this warp and weave to it. And if we allow our thread to weaken, it throws the whole tapestry off. And so in order for me to take care, to really be there to support others, I need to take care of myself. Yeah. So, and it's a continual, it's a continual mantra I have to keep telling myself.
I think it's important, and it's very common for women. It's very common for women who are moms or who are in the healing professions to put everybody first. And I've really started to shift that myself. No, I am. Scott said to me when he walked in and saw my art studio in the garage, he was like, the garage looks great. And don't you want to put your car in the garage? I'm like, no. He goes, but why can't you move everything over and make more space for the car? I said, no. And he said, but what if we want to put the car in the garage? I said, no. And I just kept repeating, no, no.
No is a complete sentence.
No. No, I deserve it. I work hard. I take care of other people all the time. If I have to set up spot and do all this cleanup to do art, I won't do it. I've been telling myself I'm going to do it for years. I can walk out there. I can pick up the paintbrush and go like that, or I can take a piece of clay and start molding it. And I don't have to scrub it down. I don't have to go and, find it and move everything around. It's just there. And so whatever it is that you need to do to set up your environment to support you, whether it be for you having those water, taking all that stuff, filling up two refrigerators full, having the water in a place you're going to see it so you drink it, right? Having the workout stuff, even if it's just a dumbbell sitting in the middle of your desk that you go, that's a reminder, I've got to go exercise, right? Having, an om and a big sign and a heart, I got to meditate now.
And finding out what works for you. So for me, what I have to do, I need structure. So I actually have written down on my daily to-do things is drink water. I have in two or three different spaces. And so it's I am stopping and I'm filling up my pitcher and I'm drinking water. And so that's what I have to do. And it's how much do I need? So that's like my bowel movement tracker. Because
you're going to find a correlation probably between water intake and bout.
Yeah, exactly. And the ease which it poops out.
and the ease. So this thing I was telling you about before, you can create any, they have a whole bunch of trackers already, but you can do it you can create any other kind of trackers you want within it. And if you create it, then everybody's under you. So I'll be sharing it. I'm going to bring the guy after he gives me a demo. I'm like so excited. I said, you have to share this with all our practitioners because we all need it, right? Because it's just so valuable to be able to create a tracker. Okay, they already have a ketone tracker and a glucose tracker and a temperature tracker. And they have a gazillion trackers, but if you want a poop tracker, you can add a poop tracker. If you want, you know, whatever else you want to add, a meditation break tracker, right? You can add those trackers, right? And we can support you and we can see it easily, like on one screen login. Okay, let me look at Heather. Okay, let me look at Paula. Okay, let me look at Diana. And have all that in an easy access way. And then everybody can log in and not have to be an expert in Excel spreadsheets to be able to get access to their stuff. So keep your fingers crossed that this is as good as it looks because it's just going to simplify all of our lives. And I'm looking at Judy sitting there stroking. Is it a cat or a dog? It's hard to tell.
It's a cat. This is Honey. And hi, Honey. I should have fed her before I got on the call. She's going, it's late. Where's my dinner?
But you know that watching you just sitting there stroking the cat, that's a form of self-care because you had a smile on your face and you're just stroking, right? And that's oxytocin producing for her. It's also oxytocin producing for you because it's that bonding and that closeness. So whatever it is for you. I remember being on a call. Is Donna on today? Donna, we were on a call with Donna once and she was saying, but I just don't have anything that really like feels good to me or whatever. And the next thing you know, she's just sitting there stroking the dog or the cat. I don't remember which it was and smiling away. I just don't know what I would do. And we all looked at her like, you found it, girl. It's right there.
Well, I pull myself off of mute because I was going to make a comment about something else. And I apologize. You got cat noises in there where she's going, yeah, feed me. But I was going to comment, you know, I've been beating myself up because I'll do well with following the metabolic reset thing for a few days. And then I go splat and do something way out of bounds. And on our group call this past Monday, we got to talking about, you know, where I had made progress. And we looked at my initial getting to know you thing, and my weight is actually down 25 pounds from there.
Whoa, baby. That's awesome, Judy.
Yeah, it could be more, I'm sure, if I was sticking closer to the, you know. But, hey, that's good.
That's progress, right? It's progress.
It's progress. Long way to go, but.
You're making progress and you know that you know what to do. And, you know, a lot of times the road is down and then, but it's if as long as it keeps going up a little bit, right? And if you think about a jet or a boat and they're on a course from point A to point B, they don't go like this. They kind of go like this. Right? Off course, on course, off course, on course.
Yeah, you have to keep fine tuning it.
You have to keep fine tuning it. And that's where you're at. And it's creating new habits. So when you go off course, it's like looking and going, huh, what happened to push me off course? Right? Like was it the wind? Was it, you know, another vehicle that I had to steer away from? What was it that caused me? Oh, I was feeling stressed maybe. And I just went for the chocolate cake. Okay. What could I do when I'm feeling stressed? That's different from that. Maybe I just grab this little kitty cat and just start stroking her and then just talking to her about what's my next, where do I really want to be? Right. Mm-hmm. Finding something to replace that, because the tendency, I still get that tendency to things didn't go right. Where's my chocolate? That's healthy chocolate, but it's still chocolate.
It's still chocolate.
Right? And it's still the act of reaching for food for comfort instead of something else that's going to comfort me on a deeper level. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. And stroking that cat, you look blissful stroking that cat. So
you know, that might be a way to go. I'm really frustrated by that day at work, and it was just so, I just want some pizza. Well, maybe I'll stroke the cat first, and if I still want the pizza after that, I'll go get the pizza, but the chances are good that you won't.
That's true.
Good.
All right.
Anything else? Anyone else? It's like, what time is it here? The sun looks like it went away. And it's only, oh, it's 4:30. Yeah, so the sun's going to go down soon. You okay? You okay, Paula? I mean, Judy? What just came up for you?
Oh, just now?
Yeah, it looks like either you got something in your eye or something struck you.
Something in my eye. I was looking at the clock and you know, pulling my head up like that. Something was bothering my eye. So.
I didn't know if some kind of...
I'm good.
Talking an emotion bubbles up and...
No, yeah. I'm good.
Okay, good. Good. All right. Thank you.
Dr. Rita Marie, I was just wondering, do our ERC family get to be part of, if we're doing fasting with food next week with our body balance group, can they,
they're part of body balance.
Okay. I just wanted to bring that up if anybody wants to join. It's on the 27th through the 31st, and we're just going to be updating every day in the Facebook group. So.
Yeah. And just kind of following fasting with food protocol. And where did we put we put it in the Facebook group. Did we put the link in there to the book?
I think I did, but it's also, we've posted it officially now on the Body Balance site. So it's there in PDF format.
Okay.
So I can post it to the page. Right. Yeah. So it's on the site.
Okay. Yeah.
So
Facebook group too, just to make it easier.
Yeah. Okay.
And just follow it. Just follow that menu for 5 days. Heather, you want to share what your experience was following that for 5 days? And your husband's experience following that?
Well, it was so much easier the second time through than the first time. And part of it was I knew going in up front to prep a lot of meals ahead of time so that I wasn't as frantic. I'd made the stuff before. I kind of knew my way through the menu. I was looking forward to the food. It was a lot of fun doing it with him. He went from standard American diet to the fasting with food, and I told him, you're jumping off the deep end of the pool, are you sure? And he lost 9 pounds in the 5 days. And that really bridged, he didn't love the food. By the day three, he was done with smoothies and really struggled with how to manage breakfast. So we came up with some ideas for him, and I also said, you can skip breakfast.
That's even better. Skip breakfast. Right.
Which I think he did one day. But it was very eye-opening for him, and he's been doing more of the metabolic reset. And much like the very first month when I was trying it, he's experimenting with what his foods are doing. And one day he just threw up his hands in frustration. He said, there's nothing but green stuff to eat. So keep my blood sugar down. So he's getting the chance to find out what his body's been telling him a long time. And I love it because I'm not having to say anything. It's, you know, but it was a big step for him to get his glucose monitor, and we got him his own, and he's been off and running, and I didn't expect that he would make the shift. And so it's been very delightful.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And, you know, your foods, that it's easy, right? If you just say, okay, for 5 days, I'm just going to follow these foods, right? And there were yummy foods. There was dessert on a couple of the days. There was a granola at one point if you wanted it. There, you know, and when people posted it, like the zucchini noodles, you posted a beautiful picture. I'm like, that's not fasting. That's feasting, because it was beautiful and yet you satiated.
Yeah. And for him, he was detoxing from sugar. And so it was a more, I think, uncomfortable process than it was for me, because I had already exited sugar from my life. Yeah. But he did really well. I was very proud of him. And he was excited about the results.
And didn't you have like ketones that went up to like 4 or 5 by the last
year? I did, yeah. They didn't stay there, but they did go way up.
Mine didn't either. Mine went to there too. But while you're to be eating and getting ketones that high is really spectacular, because most like people who do ketone diets and they, you know, it's mostly the butter and bacon kind of version, but they're really happy if their ketones go to 1.5, right? Because that's the range of nutritional ketosis. So usually to get to fours and fives, you have to be fasting. So that's why it was so exciting to me that it really
mimicked food.
Fasting. With food, like I was like, I've never had 4.6 ketones while I'm eating, you know, nourishing and satisfying meals. So it's definitely something that is a good thing to try. And the longevity research just shows that if we do that, not, you know, under eating is one of the best things for longevity. And it turns on the SIRT2 genes and all this other stuff that helps us to live longer. So, you know, doing it once a month, like Longo found, just once a month can keep the blood sugar steady, can keep, you know, you don't want to go crazy in between and then go, you know,
right.
Next, but a good healthy diet and then 5 days of that a month, right?
And my doctor recommended at least one day a week having 65% of my calories as part of my ongoing plan. And I had never really pushed myself to do that. And after I did the 5 day fast, I find it's now so easy. I just pick stuff off that menu.
Yeah, just pick one of those days and do
that.
Yeah. 65. That was less than 65%. So there you go. Easy.
Yeah. It's super simple now for me to do. It's like, what do I feel like? The zucchini noodles are great. And I did learn if I changed raw tomatoes for the dehydrated tomatoes, it keeps my blood sugar okay.
Okay. So the dehydrated didn't work, but that makes sense.
All I had to do was just put raw in and it was
fine. So you know, when I make that sauce, I don't put the dried tomatoes in anymore. I do put a little bit of the tomato powder, but it doesn't seem to raise my sugar, but you can do it with just straight raw. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
So it was, I just think that was one of the best tools you gave us this year. That just is it's an awesome tool. And I was just blown away that he could make that big of an adjustment doing it. So I really encourage anybody that's thinking about it, go for it.
Yeah. So we'll do it as a group the 27th through the 31st. I won't be on with Facebook Lives and all that kind of stuff, but we'll be posting and just reminding you, and you'll have the little booklet. It's so good. And the food was delicious. And I think that a lot of people said that I had put onion and garlic in the smoothies to get the sulfur stuff up. But if you're sensitive to that and you don't like raw, you can either cook it or just leave it out. You don't have to.
Right.
Right. You can put garlic in other things. You don't have to do it in your smoothie.
Yeah, I didn't. No.
All right. Anybody else before we go? Diana.
I've got a quick technical question. The last newsletter said that there was a mention that all of the calls will now be on the calls and recording page, or there's a new page.
There's a new page.
They would no longer be sent in the newsletter every week.
Well, in the newsletter, we're going to give you, hey, here's where all they are. And they're just the next four weeks.
Okay.
List of everything. All the vital calls, the body, any calls that you're entitled to, you'll see on that page.
Right. It's on that page now. So, they're no longer going to be listed in the newsletter.
It won't be listed there, but the newsletter will say, click here and you'll see it.
Okay.
That way
I found that really, really helpful. I've just pinned the newsletter up on my email at the top of the page once a week. And then whenever there was a call coming, cause I don't always get the email reminders for some reason, like I did not get the email reminder for this call. But I had it on my calendar because I wouldn't go to over the test. But usually we get those little reminders at least once during the day.
Yeah, instead of having it in the newsletter itself, which was a lot of work. It just took hours and hours.
Okay.
To pull them.
It's not a problem. I just was wondering. I wanted to clarify that because you might want to send that a big notice out, like the first paragraph in the newsletter. Make sure you remind people in big letters that we're no longer listing the calls here. Go to this page.
Yep,
and just leave it there for a while. But I used to tag that. I pinned that to the top of my email, and then I could just check every morning to see if there was a call coming up that day.
Well, with this new page, Diana, you can bookmark the page and you can pin it in. We hope that we'll actually have more accuracy with this new method. So.
Yeah, because sometimes things got missed. So if we go to the ERC page,
Right.
I told them to put a link to it right at the top of the schedule and reporting pages, because that way all the calls are together, whereas on the schedule and recording pages, it may have vitals over here on the, so, and it's just real simple as to these are the next 4 weeks.
Okay. That's
and then cool. Every week, they're going to take the first one off and they're going to put a new one at the bottom. So it's much less work to do each. Okay. Let me see. Calls and recordings. I haven't checked it. They just sent me a note that said, yes, they did it. So I'm going to make sure it's there. I'll show you guys. If you haven't seen it. Share. Here. So click here to view a list of all program calls as noted on your weekly newsletter. So if you click there.
Got it. Yes, I found that.
I'll see everything, like including ERC, vital, NEPT. You guys won't see the NEPT because it's got coding back end that only shows you the calls that you have access to. So if you start to see NEPT calls on there, let me know, because then there was a mistake on there, but they said they tested it.
Okay.
Okay. And then, so this is just, there's January and there's February.
Well, they did finally fix my page so that I do have the recordings to the goal calls now.
Oh, good. Calls. Yeah, I don't know.
That was a coding error. So I guess Scott was the one that fixed it from what I heard.
Oh, okay, good. Good.
So that was fantastic. So I was able to go back. So sometimes you go over the test so fast and that sometimes the notes don't get completely done right. Or not completely done right. It's just you throw in so much stuff that doesn't get written down. Thank you. You are a massive amount of information. It's so nice to be able to go back and watch it 2 or 3 times.
So I'm going to share with you guys a resource that's free that you all can use if you want to start it whenever we start a call. It's called Otter, OTER. Yeah. It's free for 600 minutes a month. And what it will do is we'll record and transcribe at the same time. Now, it's not the best transcription, but it's very close. But if you're playing back the transcription, you can go blah, 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 got it. Oh, what does that mean? Like Lynn, we were like metallic something or that. No, I don't think she said heavy metal music or whatever it was that it sounded like. You can click right on the words and then it plays the recording part of it. So you don't to the whole recording, you can just scan through it, you get what you need, you're not understanding it or it doesn't seem complete, you just click on it. It just plays that section.
Oh, cool.
Very cool. Otter.ai. And it's free for the first 600 minutes. 600 minutes is 10 hours.
Yeah, that's more than our usual monthly calls.
Yeah, yeah. So you got it. I want to remind you that next week on the 31st, we're going to be eating pizza. We're going to do a pizza call for the Vital Healing Kitchen. It's going to be on a Friday, not a Saturday, because it was supposed to be this coming weekend, but I didn't think I could do it from my condo in Hawaii. So we moved it out to next Friday. So it's then. And then the very next day, so you got 2 days in a row of me, is the kitchen magic.
Fantastic.
In there. And if there's specific things that you're like, I really want to learn how to make this or do that, you know, this particular dip or this particular herb or whatever, let us know. Post it in the ERC group or send an email to erc@drrenamarie.com. And that way I know in advance and I'll make sure I have the food around to share whatever it is that you need. Okay?
Good, I'm just
playing in the kitchen and I know a lot of you do too. So we'll just play together in the kitchen. Okay? All right, guys. Stop share. Great to see you all. Have a great rest of the evening, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye. Thank you, Dr.
Thank you for coming. Bye.
Sarah,
bye. Good to see you.
Good to see you too, Diana.
Yeah. Bye. Sure.